As the South Platte River winds its way through this stretch of downtown Denver, people flock to its banks to cool off when temperatures rise, tubing, swimming, and even fishing. But public health officials urge caution when it comes to taking a dip in urban rivers and lakes due to the presence of E. coli, something that is proving to be one of the biggest challenges when it comes to water quality in urban areas.
E. coli is a bacteria that lives in the guts of mammals, so it can come from urban wildlife, raccoons and foxes and rats and all those kind of things that you see in your neighborhood. It can also come from pets, your dogs and cats, and it also comes from the human gut.
John Novick is an environmental administrator with the Denver Department of Public Health and Environment. The DPHE has issued several warnings this summer and even closed some swim beaches due to elevated levels of E. coli. They're doing regular testing at places like Confluence Park.
Places where we know people are getting into the water. We try to get out there at least once a week or every other week to get samples and better understand what the risk to public health is.
Urban areas are most at risk for E. coli due to the presence of animals like raccoons and foxes. John Novick says this can make it difficult to control.
Raccoons are really challenging because they move through the neighborhood using storm sewers, right? So they get into the storm sewers. They'll come down to the river. They'll go back into the neighborhood to where they have shelter or food sources. They live in the storm sewers, so they're also defecating in there. And it's very challenging to keep them out, because if you try to put a grate or something on a storm inlet to prevent them from getting in there, then what happens is during a storm event, trash and leaves and other litter washes up, and it plugs up your storm inlet. So rather than serving the function of draining a neighborhood, it just creates a flooding issue.
E. coli is an indicator organism. That means it indicates the presence of other microorganisms that can be harmful to human health. Prior to the year 2000, state health officials used another indicator organism to monitor stream health, so they don't have historic data on E. coli levels. But Amy Conowall, who's the watershed section manager with the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment, says the data they do have shows E. coli is an issue.
What we do know, since we've changed that indicator species in about the year 2000, we know that our 303D list of impaired water, so that's the list that we will send to EPA, has increased by 60% since 2012. So there is an increase. But one thing to note about that is that it's not an indication necessarily of levels increasing. It is an indication, though, that we are out there monitoring more streams. We are out there looking more. Other communities are looking more. So we're getting additional data that we never had before. So we have a better picture of what's going on, but I don't know if I could say that historically levels are increasing.
Denver has seen some improvements in E. coli levels over the past five decades, but John Novick says it remains a persistent problem.
If you look back 40 or 50 years, there's definitely been some improvements, but over the past 10 to 15 years, there hasn't been much change despite all of the work that we've been doing to try and improve it and improve water quality. And part of that is related to the fact that these organisms, they live in the sediments, in the streams, and so they have all the shelter that they need. They have food sources. And once they're there, it's just very challenging to remove them.
Denver has invested in UV lights to zap E. coli in some stormwater runoff as part of their efforts to improve water quality. The city of Boulder is also grappling with this problem. 15 years ago, a stretch of Boulder Creek was deemed impaired due to high levels of E. coli. In June, the city updated its TMDL implementation plan. That's the total maximum daily load of E. coli that Boulder Creek can tolerate and still attain water quality standards. Current state standards say safe levels are 126 organisms per 100 milliliters. Data shows that in 2015, E. coli levels in parts of Boulder Creek exceeded those standards on 25 occasions. Candace Owen, stormwater quality supervisor with the City of Boulder, says they're working on an overall strategy to tackle E. coli.
We're in a monitoring stage of that, looking for sources within, we've prioritized our different pieces of the system, and so we're working through monitoring. We've been doing monitoring for years at our outfalls, but now we're working up through the system in a really systematic way to look for those sources. So that's what we're tackling this summer.
Owen says E. coli is challenging to monitor due to fluctuations.
It can be really challenging. We can see a high E. coli sample 1 week and it'll drop really low the next. It's just, it can be very variable from sample to sample. And so as much as we're tracking these things, sometimes we hit dead ends or we have to, you know, reevaluate. And we're definitely trying to get a number of samples to find, you know, those consistent sources.
Some local water advocates are calling for more action. Art Hirsch is with the Boulder Waterkeepers.
I'd like to see more involvement with the stakeholders and actually putting one plan together to really address investigate the E. coli.
Hirsch says one major stakeholder that needs to take responsibility is the University of Colorado. A stretch of Boulder Creek that runs by the campus has tested for E. coli levels exceeding 2,000 organisms per 100 milliliters, far in excess of the state standards of 126 per 100 milliliters. CU says it is fully compliant with state stormwater permits and it's working with the city on the issue. Hirsch wants increased testing throughout Boulder Creek and better communication with the public.
People, a lot of people don't realize that this is an impaired stream, that there's an actual health risk when they go in here and actually do have some sort of body contact. And that's what the water quality standard is based on, is some sort of risk associated with the standard.
How to communicate E. coli levels to the public is another issue facing local authorities. Real-time results are not available. It takes several hours for the test to be even completed. Then sharing that information with the public can be a challenge, says Amy Connewall of the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment.
It's really hard to post signs and indicate that maybe we have been seeing elevated levels of E. coli in these streams. I think we work really closely with local health departments, and they sometimes will take on that responsibility to inform their community about if there are elevated levels or not.
E. coli levels don't seem to be on anyone's mind on this scorching summer afternoon on the banks of the creek in downtown Boulder. One bather, Luis, says it's not even something he's thinking about.
Nope, not going to stop me getting in. I guess if I learned it's at a toxic level that's dangerous, it would affect me.
But he adds, if information was readily available, he would take notice.
Just tell me. Brief me. I'll read. I'll believe you. I'll pay attention to it.
Denver has an online map where E. coli monitoring is shared with the public. In the meantime, public health officials like John Novick urge people to take precautions. Stay out of rivers and lakes for 72 hours after a storm, as increased stormwater runoff can lead to elevated E. coli. After that, he says, just use common sense.
It's always a good idea to, when you get out, wash your hands before you eat or drink anything. Try not to drink the water when you're in there. And, you know, if you have open cuts or sores, it's probably a smart idea just to stay out of the water.
For Connecting the Drops and Rocky Mountain Community Radio, I'm Maeve Conran.
Connecting the Drops is a collaboration between Rocky Mountain Community Radio Stations and Water Education Colorado. Find out more at watereducationcolorado.org. Support is provided by CoBank, which provides financing solutions for rural water systems. Find out more at cobank.com.